the recap you wanted to hear, not the recap we wanted to do. Iowa State prevails 20-19 in Kinnick Stadium after a second half collapse that was hard to watch as an Iowa fan, as an Iowa alumni. And Kevin and I are here to break it down for you. We're going to try and dissect the good, the bad, and the ugly from this Cy-Hawk game. Thank you for being here with us. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back to the I'm Dead Inside podcast with your host, Tyler, Gary, and Kevin. Grant, how'd the Broncos do today?
We needed that.
I'd normally take a little bit of time to complain about the Broncos, but I'm so previously upset from other football games this weekend. I didn't even have time to be fully upset about the Broncos today.
Wow. There's not even any room inside of you for the Broncos performance because it's already taken up.
No. And to be fair, I also didn't have a ton of expectations for the Broncos today, but it was, you know, football, I guess. But I don't know. Like it took me to like halftime of the noon game today to just be like, I was thinking about Saturday so much. I don't even know what I just watched for the first half of all these games.
There's a lot of great football games yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good, close football games. Generally, as a college football fan, it was a pretty good day.
Not bad for a week two slate, yeah.
Yeah, if you're just a neutral fan, sure.
I'm not going to dwell on a lot of these other games. This is an Iowa podcast. So we're going to recap the Iowa game, okay? And we fucking didn't get it done, okay? All right? I've got some notes. But I don't know what's going on in Eugene, but they're getting taken to the brink 2 weeks in a row. I saw you tweeting about that one, Grant. We'll talk about maybe some of these games on Wednesday when we come out with the preview episode. We do a little bit more of the rehashing of the general college football scene across the country. We'll talk about Grant's top 25 on Wednesday. We'll save that.
Oh, okay.
But we're going to talk about Iowa State today. And if you are here listening to this podcast, you're one of two people. You've either been with us for a season of Iowa football, of which the past season was we'll call it a downer in the fans' vibe perspective. Won 10 games, but it was, you know, there's been a lot of negativity. Or you haven't been with us. And for those that are new to the show, possibly in 2024, if you're looking for a lot of answers, or really from the outside, because no one's really got answers who's getting on a mic and talking on a Monday morning, right? They think they do. They don't. And even if they did, they're not the ones making the changes or making the corrections or watching the film on the inside anyway. So it's all just noise. That's all we are. And this is not going to be the podcast that points a lot of fingers, tries to point blame. There's a lot of people, I think, online, if you check the Twitter, or formerly Twitter, now X, or the Facebook, the Instagram, you're going to find a lot of negativity, a lot of toxicity, and we're not going to really try and feed into that here. So if you're someone who's trying to get a little bit of a masochistic review on a Monday, this isn't going to be the Fire Coach Ferentz podcast. Sorry about that. I do understand the emotional side of this. Trust me. I was working out at the 2:30 games. I generally work out like 12:30. So my workout brings me right up to kickoff. And Kev, I had a moment where I was about to hit the clock. It was a for time piece. You know, I'm trying to do this CrossFit Metcon as fast as I can. And I was really trying to do well on it. And I hit the clock, starts counting down from 9 on my little CrossFit timer on my phone, and I closed my eyes. I took a big breath, which is what I normally do during something I'm trying to do well on. And we were just moments out from, you know, we were 30 minutes from kick at this point. And it took me back to, I felt like I was in the locker room because I felt the, I still feel on game days like I'm the guy. And I don't know if you feel that or how you process these games 7 years as a, later as a player, but the nerves, like the electricity that I feel in my body leading up to kickoff when the Hawks kick, and maybe even a little heightened this week, because it's, I didn't feel this way last week, but like I'm sitting on the couch. I can't stay still. Like I felt yesterday very much so a lot before the game. And I don't know what that is.
It's called fandom.
I think it's just called fan of football.
Yeah. Having never worn the Hawkeye uniform, I think you can kind of relate to those feelings a little bit, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's just called being a fan. Just being excited for a game, being committed to.
Yeah. I wasn't sure, but I was pretty sure that was the
diagnosis from fan doc Grant.
You can call it that. I don't feel that way every game. So I don't know if that's what it is, but, I was speaking more in the sense of towards this Iowa State thing. I don't know how you process it, how you feel before a game, Kev.
I mean, yes, like very similar, like get amped up, juiced up, excited for the game, but nowhere near to the level that it was when we were playing.
Yeah. Maybe it was just the workout ahead of time.
I don't know. Maybe because like, I guess I'll give you this, when you're working out, you're just kind of there with your own thoughts. You can kind of amp stuff up. Like, I don't know, when you're out tailgating, watching the 11 o'clock games, it's, you know, you think about that.
Yeah, no, I was certainly in my own
people. Yeah. You're kind of in your own head right there. And I guess you can.
Maybe I did it to myself. I don't know. There was a lot going into this game about, you know, we even talked about this weeks ago before the season started, how, actually, it was when we had Scott Docterman on. I think I posed the question to him after we started to look ahead to this season. Could Iowa State very well be the second most, or maybe not even the second, because we're, according to the experts, we're supposed to lose to Ohio State. So is Iowa State the biggest game on this schedule? Does a lot hinge on this game? Answer is yes. A lot does hinge on every game, but relatively to the ones that are going to be on paper closer, this is a big one. Not only is it that, but when you know, in hindsight, when you get to the end of a season, you start to look at what are your good wins, what are your good losses, if there is such a thing. You know, you start to put together that resume. We talked about it last week. Kevin doesn't want any happiness within 50 miles of the Ames border, but we do want that win to be a good win, assuming we beat them each year. We failed to do that yesterday, 2 days ago, as you listen to this. And I think the emotional highs and lows of sports in week two already of the college football season could certainly be felt online. I don't know if you could. I'm sure it was felt just the same in and around the stadium. And the general online discourse at this point, I think, is very deflated. Like, what is our season about now? Because they feel as though that long goal of being in the playoff conversation is already dead. And I don't want to jump to that conclusion. It certainly didn't help our case yesterday.
Given the rest of our schedule, I think it's going to be hard to see a path outside winning the Big Ten.
Yeah. If we go 10-2.
Right. Yeah. Like, there's not going to be a whole lot of wins that the committee are going to hang their hat on. It's like, yeah. Unless we, you know, we go 10-2 and one of those wins is Ohio State, or we go 11-1. One of those wins is Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, that's
possible.
Yeah. I mean,
those are your two options. You go 11-1 or beat Ohio State, or you win the Big Ten championship. And that's how you get in the playoff there.
I think the theoreticals just become further long shots. And that's what's disappointing. You're right. Mathematically, you win the conference, you're in. We haven't lost a single conference game yet. We haven't even started Big Ten play. So,
yep.
I mean, there's everybody on the outside is going to count them out. Everybody on the outside's already chalked up that Ohio State game. If you play that game 100 times, do we lose it more than we win it? Probably, based on paper. It doesn't mean you can't win that game. And it also doesn't mean that even if you did find another loss somewhere on that schedule, you beat the Buckeyes, but you go 10-2, that win amongst a series of other wins that would start next week versus Troy, would climb the Hawks back into the ranks. Beating Ohio State would jump you a lot at whatever point in that in the season, you'd be whatever and one. There's still odds out there, but it definitely hurts. The Iowa State game hurts in more ways than one. And I think I would be pretty detached from this all, but we have this show. And like, you know, Lauren kind of looked at me yesterday and she goes, "So what do you think?" And I'm like pretty fine. Like immediately after the game, I just sat down with Kinley. We started playing with her trucks that she has. And like, I'm gone from football. I can just, it's like, especially having a kid. I'm that guy who's like, don't let football ruin your happiness. You know, and I did that before Kinley. Now with Kinley, I forget football even exists. We go downstairs, start playing, watching Paw Patrol. Dude, it's awesome. But I have this show to do.
Did you say Paw Patrol is better than football? Is that the quote there?
Yes, quote.
Doesn't make me sad.
No, it was great. It was great. And like life is so easy to just move on. But then I have to keep all these notes in my head. Oh, Caleb Johnson had a big rushing day. When we threw a pick out early in the second half, why'd we throw it across the field? I have to think of all these things because we have to come back and talk. So it does affect my life. Unfortunately, self-imposed, this affects my life because we have to come talk about it on the show, which is also ass, Kev, because for the most part, we do this show for fun.
Yeah, yeah. And having to relive yesterday's game, and you know, I got a chance to rewatch a little bit of it today.
Oh, no.
And that's not fun. And that's self-imposed not fun. And I'm okay with a little bit of self-imposed not fun, you know, like putting yourself through a hard workout. But self-imposed emotional not fun is extra not fun.
Do you have any emotional thoughts about it, Grant?
I have too many emotional thoughts, I feel like. I'm crushed, to say the least. You know, I feel like I do this every year. I spend all offseason. I just get so happy. I'm like, football, it's here. It's the best time. And then we're in week two, and I'm crushed. I'm like, I feel like there's like, this is like that ex-girlfriend who keeps falling in love with the same dude over and over again, just getting hurt. Like, I keep going back. I keep touching the pan, even though it's hot.
You could have used the analogy of falling in love with the sun.
With the what?
Oh, did you say, I thought you said did you say falling in love with the same dude again?
Yeah, that girl is like, oh, who keeps going back to the same bad boyfriend.
Could have been.
I know. But you know what? It's fine because, you know, on Monday, I'm going to be like, hey, it's Troy week. We're taking on the Sun Belt.
And you know what?
I'm going to be excited for the boys. And I'm going to be like, we're back on. We're good. Yeah,
and by the time people are listening to this, the team has moved on. It's 24-hour rule. They don't have time.
They're watching film on Troy by the time people are listening to this.
They're at practice.
Well, I'm sure that's
good. They're at practice right now as people are listening to this. They've already got one Troy practice in the books. As when many people are going to get to this, maybe in the afternoon on Monday. So they're moving on. And that's what makes it tough for the fans. And this game, even worse. Like, last game was great. Like, because they start slow, you're like, oh, the crappy part's in the beginning. And then they finish on a high note. And for some reason, they decided to do it opposite this game, which makes it worse.
It is quite unfortunate.
Kev, what is the issue here? Why are we having a tale of two halves?
I don't know. Oh man, you want all the answers?
Like it's been very, very different in both halves of both games.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we couldn't sustain drives in the second half. We gave up too many big plays. We started giving up a little bit of ground on the running game, on the defensive side of things. We didn't punt the ball exceptionally well in the second half.
A lot of things.
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of stuff that just kind of adds up to losing the second half 20-6.
Not good. Not good. Before we get into a real hearty breakdown of a couple of these things, do we want to just quickly recap how we did on awards winners?
Yeah, sure. That'll make me happier because I think I had a pretty good weekend.
So
smooth transition.
It's not going to be a smooth podcast. It's just not going to be the way it is.
Well,
let's go pull up the graphic there or what?
We're working on the graphic.
Yeah, Grant, bring that up. I went 1-2. The Hawks being one of those losses. I took the Hawks by 3 or whatever it was. That was
a good bet. It's a good bet. Should have panned out.
Should have, and we'll expand on that.
Mm.
The other one was my goofy sort of betting against a bad team, and they were not great. UNC beat Charlotte by 18.
Needed, 22?
22 or 22 and a half. So that just didn't pan out for me. So those two I missed. I did, however, caught the over on the Michigan Tech. Texas scored against probably – I wasn't watching, but I'm assuming it was this – or Michigan scored on what I believe is Texas's second defense with like a minute and a half left.
Garbage time.
With a minute 54, they scored a touchdown. Yeah.
Yep, to put it at 43 or 44 points. So
43, yep. By half.
So which, never in doubt.
In your defense, I think Texas could have scored 60 points if they wanted to. Like,
right.
I feel like the Sark threw the leash on early. So, like, in your defense, you probably deserved it.
And I was sitting there going, oh, no, this is the worst-case scenario because Texas is up enough but also good enough to shut it down offensively but still keep Michigan from scoring points, and I'm not going to get there. Lucky that you know, my whole thing on this was I don't think Michigan is that bad. I think they should be able to score points. They aren't good, or at least not versus an elite team. And so they didn't score a lot of points. A Texas bitch slapped them.
I got
to watch most of that game. What was that, Kev?
I've got beef with whoever said that I lost the game because I didn't.
Who said you lost the game?
Did you? There's a one in my loss column right now.
I believe that was from week one. I believe. Nope. No, hold on. We have to recheck the books here.
Kev, I think went 2-0-1 in week one.
Did you not lose one in week one, or did you?
Week one, where we only chose one.
Did you go 0-1 or 1-0?
1-0.
Okay, there might be a miscalculation.
Right, we're gonna have to
the computer. We might have to go check the super.
For all those people who are doing the math out there, I'm undefeated right now. I'm 7-0-1. We had a good weekend.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Tennessee Rocky Top kind of just dismantled NC State. They are a legitimate contender, in my opinion. I don't know if they're in the top four teams that are going to compete for the title, but I fully expect them to be in the playoff and play. I think they can play pretty competitively against anyone in the country at this point. Rutgers runs all over Akron, smacks them. They cover the 22.5. USC in a blowout shutout versus Utah State, they cover the 28.5. Texas blows out Michigan, they cover the touchdown easily. And then Nebraska, Colorado under, not looking great in the first half, but Nebraska's defense pretty damn good. Don't give up a ton of points. We go under 58.5 there. So that's 5-0 on the week, folks.
5-0 is pretty good.
Solid. Yeah.
That's a pretty, I don't think I've ever seen anyone start off a season 7-0-1.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
That's pretty impressive.
Tail Kevin going forward.
Yeah. I had a pretty good weekend, bounce back weekend, 5-1, put us back above 500. I would take a lot of time to tell the haters off who are all over me last week, but I don't have too much time for that. So we're not going to make a big deal about how the haters are sick this weekend over my success. Q's though played great, beat Georgia Tech. Happy for Bielema. Illinois beat Kansas State.
That was a good game for them. That was a really good game for them.
I don't know about you guys, but I unless Bielema's playing Iowa, I'm happy when he's happy.
Oh yeah, I'll cheer for Bert.
Yeah, he's got the tattoo on his calf. I'll root for him. Sure. App State though might be the worst bet that I've ever placed.
Oh yeah, Clemson in my entire career. Big way last week.
This is at the end of the first quarter. It was 35-0. Clemson had 340 yards and 10 first downs, and App State had 58 total yards and no points.
In the first quarter?
This is at the end of the first quarter.
Oh, no.
I've never heard of 35 points scored in a quarter before.
Yes, this is the end of the first quarter. Hey, at least it was a slow, quick death, or not? It was a quick death, not a slow death. so we had that, and then Wazoo Army and Tennessee over all got it done as well. But hey, you know, moving on to next week, and I would trade all of this. By the way,
I think what was the over under 60.5 in that Tennessee NC State game?
We got very 61? Lucky because North Carolina State did not participate. In this, that should just say Tennessee like team total over 60, because North Carolina State did not participate in this.
Oh, no, yeah, they had that one pick six, was like early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they like total garbage time stuff. Luckily, like Heupel loves running up the score on people. I don't know why, like he's one of those dudes like him and Lane just never call the dogs off, but got kind of lucky there, I will say. But I do want to say, I would trade all this, I'd go 0-6 if it meant Iowa winning. So none of this means anything to me. Because I'm upset from that, and it's like the rest of the day, I don't even care what happens.
Amen.
And they didn't win. They didn't win. We lost 20-19, and
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food. To go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, but it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
It's worse. We talked about it. It's worse when it's your in-state rival. It's worse when it's on your home field. It's worse when they're coming across the field to grab a trophy. It's worse when you had what should have been a fucking 21-point lead. Instead, it was 13. That's probably the most frustrating thing for me in this game, is that we're on the 3 and the 2 yard line. We're first and goal from the 3 and the 2.
So many opportunities to put this game away.
I almost, and deserve, and what you deserve in life, or what a team deserves in a game, that's a strong word. It's an all-encompassing word that's really hard to use correctly. But we almost deserve to lose this game. With how many opportunities we left on the field.
Sure.
And at times, how sloppy we were. When I saw the roughing the punter, I about lost my mind.
I lost my shit at that one, too. Also, I don't even know why we're even coming after the kick.
What are we doing?
Even if you block the kick, unless it goes backwards and you return it to the house, which hardly ever happens, I think there's like 20 seconds left. And like the chances of you getting points out of that play versus you giving them the opportunity to give the points, the risk reward is just not there, in my opinion.
That kid walked off the field and they were showing him, and he was like greeted by Coach Woods on the side as they walked back. And Coach Woods' face was like, to someone who knows Coach Woods and his facial expressions to certain reactions, and it was one of, what are you doing? It looked pretty calm. Pretty relaxed on TV. That face was, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, luckily it didn't hurt us. They missed the field goal. But
we general got lucky
in this play. Yeah.
So it's just.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? You want to go recap the whole game? You just want to go over the highlights?
Let's talk about just in general the first half. Like, you know, we have three. We're running the hell out of the ball. Caleb Johnson is a machine.
We end up punting on the first drive, but like we put a little bit of a drive together. Like, the scripted plays look good. Everyone's looking pretty sharp.
We're running RPOs. Like this offense, I don't know. Again, self-proclaimed. I don't know shit about shit. Okay, especially offensively, I ain't your guy. But this, just from an eye test, this offense is different. The plays that we're running are different. Some of the motions and actions that we have going on are completely different. So I'm sitting there going, my God, Leicester's cooking right now. And sure, we still look a little bit.
There's still a bunch of timing off.
We're still learning the system, right? And that is something to consider here is it's game two of an offensive coordinator that's brand new. There is going to be growing pains. Not because of certain players' performances, although that doesn't help, but just because it's an entire 11 new guys learning a system and running it at game speed against game speed for the first time. So there's some timing. There's some stuff going on, but it looks encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, they moved the ball that first drive. We get a punt down to the one. We stop them three and out. And then we go, two plays, and then Caleb Johnson springs a nice little touchdown, which is extremely well-blocked play.
Yes.
Their cornerback is supposed to fill on the backside of the crack. We crack the safety. Cornerback's supposed to fill on the backside of that. He didn't. That's why it sprung for a touchdown. But even if he did, it would have been a 5 to 10 yard play. And it was extremely well blocked. Jennings Dunkard put some dude in the dirt that play. It's feeling really good in the first quarter.
And I'm glad you bring up that block because I actually was going to nominate that one as our premier automotive collision of the game. A little Jennings Dunkard flattening. And you guys can nominate if you feel like there's other better ones. There was several good hits in this game. Castro had a nice cut down in the flat on a very important couple of nice hits actually late in the game, a couple nice important defensive stands that we had. But yeah, I mean, it looked good. I don't want to go play by play, possession by possession here, Kev, but these other two possessions were that are also set up by massive Caleb Johnson runs. I mean, this guy,
he's playing really well.
This guy is in, he's putting out all Big Ten numbers right now.
Yeah, he's a special back. We can fast forward a little bit in the game, but there was a third and one in the fourth quarter where
effort play.
Most backs do not make that first down. He gets hit in the backfield, and then he just keeps pushing it forward. And
that's called doing it yourself.
Down. Exactly. Not well blocked, but I looked to my dad. He's like that might have been his best run of the day. It was a 1.5 yard run.
Got the first down.
Should have been pretty much sealed the game, but yeah, he's playing at a really high level right now. He's pretty fun to watch.
He is extremely fun to watch. He gets us down there several times. We're first and goal from the 2. We're first and goal from the 3.
Yeah, we get the pick. We get a first down. We're on the 2 yard line, and I mean, if you're first and goal from the 2, that's got to be a touchdown.
It has to be
a touchdown. That's just giving up 4 points right there. It happened on the second time too. Is like we just get penetration in the backfield and we get a loss of like three, four yards, and all of a sudden you're on the 2, you're on the 1 yard line. Now you're backed up. You're on the 5 yard line. It completely changes the flow of that. Of how you're going to try to get this thing in the end zone.
Tell me if I'm wrong here, Kev, because I'm going to go to maybe a point that nobody else will make, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, and we've already mentioned a couple factors here that play into this. When you're first, especially on a sudden change, Jay Higgins gets that pick, reads it perfectly. Oops, Rocco throws it right to him. We're first and goal with all the momentum. Kev, you have to bully those guys. You go out there and you run right down their neck.
I mean,
we don't get cute.
You try. I mean, we were first and goal on the 1, and we tried to run the ball, and somebody just gets beat across their face.
And this is exactly what I'm getting to. Caleb Johnson, every single play, it looks like he's trying to impose himself on other people. I don't know. I question. And we've done this before, and I know we have some listeners who think it's all coaching, it's all strategy. It couldn't possibly ever be on the player's fault unless it's the quarterback. Sometimes I question our offensive line's grittiness, the meanness, the bullies of the Big Ten, if you want to put it that way. Sometimes I just don't know. I don't know if it's a resolve issue, man.
Maybe sometimes you just, your feet just ain't quick enough.
And sometimes that's it. But across this, the entirety of this game, I felt like Iowa State took it to us. I felt like they brought the intensity. They brought the aggression. They won at the line of scrimmage a lot. Now, again, we rushed for a shitload of yards. Caleb Johnson made some amazing runs. We did have some great blocks in the rushing game. But at times, man, it just felt like, especially in the second half, a lot of this was in that second half. It just felt like, why are we not playing bully ball here? Like, why can we not? They weren't, and maybe I was fooled. Maybe I was duped. I was told that over the course of this game, their front four were not supposed to be able to really hang in there with us. Their decimated linebacker core should not have been able to continue to play ball with us at the first and second levels. I don't know what happened in the second half, but they sure as hell were playing ball with us. And
I mean, yeah, they played a physical game, and they, like we said about it on the preview podcast, like, you're gonna get the best game out of these guys in this game.
Absolutely.
And yeah, they came to play. I mean, were they perfect? No, but they played hard, and you should expect that, right?
Should.
Yeah, so not getting in the end zone there, settling for three, that hurts. I think it's a punt fest up until Caleb Johnson springs another one. We get down to first and goal on the three again. The tight end this time gets beat across his face, and I think LaShawn Williams gets planted in the dirt by one of their DNs. And then we came out that nifty play. It was kind of like that forward toss.
Yeah,
it's technically a pass. Was it Gil? I forget who he did it to, but he slips up. So and then he gets hit, slips up in the backfield. I don't know if he would have gotten a touchdown if he doesn't slip, but it probably would have gotten us back to the 1 or 2 yard line. And so now we're third and goal from the five. We miss a wide open Jacob Gil in the corner. I don't think that was his first read, but looking back, he's looking to the right, and I'm not sure why his first read was to the right. All he had was the running back in the flat. So I don't really know what's going on there. I'm not a quarterback, but settle for another three there. That's 8 points that we left on the board. If we just get four of them, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yeah. And I, also,
you know, going back to that, that particular drive, we get a first down, it's first and goal in the three, and we pop a timeout right away after that first down.
I don't remember it, but sure.
Wasn't exactly sure why, because we gave them a chance at the end. Like, we gave them a free timeout, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still stuck on this being an average, on these two possessions being an average of 2.5 yards away from the goal line and getting 6 points total. It blows my mind.
Yeah, no, I mean, inside the five, first and goal, you got to be scoring touchdowns 95% of the time.
And we are 0 for 2
is bad.
It's unacceptable. I mean, I don't like to use the word unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable.
And I only say it is unacceptable because I know the standard, because they're going to go in. They already did today. They went in and that offense looked at themselves in the mirror and watched those plays. And they said, boys, this is unacceptable.
I mean, do you remember in 2019 versus USC where we ran quarterback sneak from the 9-yard line 3 times in a row?
Hey, where is the quarterback sneak? I don't care how hurt or how many ACLs Cade doesn't have. Let's run one sometime.
We pulled it out when we needed it in the last
drive. We did. I think Estrenga was pushing him from behind. We got it on a third and one or whatever. I don't know. You know, it is funny, Kev, how you, me, and Drake, when he was here, used to really go to battle for Nate Stanley and how well he actually was doing back in the day. And the whole sentiment over the past couple of years has been, whoa, we didn't know what we had with Nate Stanley. Fucking tried to tell you. You know? Tried to say it, and then, you know, we just got completely shit on for the entirety of Nate's career.
Yep.
Because we're settling for Nate Stanley and how average Nate Stanley is and how Nate's what's holding us back. Okay. All right.
If you had Nate Stanley level of play for 2020 through 2024, I mean, a lot of ball games that we would have won that we actually lost.
We would have very potentially been in some serious nationally relevant games towards the end of the year.
But yeah, okay.
So we get 13. We get 13, and you're feeling okay. Now,
you're still feeling great. You're still feeling like 13. They're doing nothing on offense. I think their only first down prior to that last drive was from a really iffy roughing the passer call.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, you're thinking, okay, 13 nothing. Like, we're in pretty damn good shape, especially given how this game is. Like, oh, we think you get to 16 points, you're probably going to win the thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then especially you come out second half, they go 3-and-out and shank a punt at the 42-yard line.
Great starting position.
This is the third opportunity to put the dagger in the game. If you put a score on the board there, make it 16 nothing, make it 20-0. It's really hard to come back from that, especially given where the momentum is. And I don't mind. We come out, we take a shot, we kind of take a little trick play. We do the play action, leak the tight end through the backside. Don't hate the play call.
Just throw.
That ball should never have left his hand.
You can't just throw it and assume it's there.
Because credit to Iowa State. They sniffed it out. They picked it up. The cornerback's right there. He's all over him. And if he doesn't pick it off, the safety's picking it off and taking it 20 yards the other way.
Yeah.
Because he was all over it too. That ball was...
Lachey's the last one catching that one.
Yes.
I mean, and...
Again, don't hate the play call. I like the idea of, okay...
Same.
We're on the plus side of the 50. Let's take a shot. Let's put this game away early. And, you know, we had all the momentum in the world right there and give it right back. And that was as where things started going downhill from there. Because I think they scored a touchdown on the next drive.
They go for a long, 75-yard drive.
Third and three. And they do a little play action pass and Castro bites down hard and he gets beat to the flat and they run that one for like 30, 40 yards. I think they caught us. They had another nice play call that got him like another 15 yards. We were in a formation that they probably knew we'd be in cover three. They hit a seam on the backside. And then they get down to the goal line. They get down to third down. And honestly, TJ Hall played that play pretty good. He just mistimed the jump just a little bit. Just need a little stronger hands.
Definitely.
Credit to their guy. He made a good play.
Their guy is unbelievable. First of all, Noel and Higgins outmatched us like motherfuckers on the outside. One for one, I don't know if we have a guy on our defense that's as good as they are good at wide receiver. Those two are...
I feel like they always have some good-ass tall receivers.
They have two absolute dudes. They've just, since Lazard, they've just filled the role. They had Hutchinson. Mm. They had another long... Long dude. And now they've got this Noel and Higgins, and they're both dogs. And that unbelievable shot by one of our photographers, somebody that photographs. It's a shot of TJ Hall before Higgins... Or is it Noel, the big one on that one? I don't know. Before he gets his hands on him,
he has
the pick.
Yeah.
And he's about to come down with it. And then you hit play on that still shot. And he just takes it from his hand, somehow gets his feet in. Unbelievable catch. There was a lot of offensive pass interference on that, by the way. He completely pulled him into him, but probably could go both ways.
I don't mind the no call.
The no call is fine. The no call is fine on that. That's an older guy, experienced, veteran, and great at his position, bullying a younger guy and a less experienced guy. And that's just what it is. Great play. So it's 13-7, and then we hit him back in the mouth.
Yep, Caleb Johnson springs another one. We get it down to the 20. What do we get down to? Like their 30 or something like that. Couple nice plays. Ended up getting a 3-yard touchdown run.
Pounded it in.
And then, go for two. I think it was the right call at the time to go for two there.
Here's why it is. Because the response to it being the wrong call, why go for two, is only in the context of how the game played out. You're just emotionally mad that we lost by one. Because here's the thing. If we go for one and we make it 20-7 and they score two touchdowns, you're like, everybody, we're sitting there at the end and they score a touchdown at the end of the game. And they kick an extra point to win 21-20, right? Now everybody's pissed asking for Kirk Ferentz's head on a stake because we didn't go for two when the book says go for two. And you're you're just mad that it played out in the wrong way for us.
Right, right. I think going for two is the right call. I just question the play call. Should have your 2-point play, like your favorite 2-point play every week going into the game week. And
let me tell you, the fade is not it for us.
The fade to the true freshman is a very questionable one that I can't really wrap my head around.
Brady Ross brought this up on Twitter. Chris Hassel had a tweet. Chris Hassel's tweet was something about, I'm not even mad about the 2-point call. I think it's the right call in the moment, blah, 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 blah. Brady chimes in and goes, I've actually got a take on this that I haven't heard yet. I'm also not mad at going for two there, but if your best play call is one where you are outmatched, in this case, a fade to a true freshman, in which Iowa is not historically great at fades, if that's our best option, maybe you do just take the point.
Yeah, agreed.
Exact quote here. I have a take that I haven't heard yet. I don't hate the decision to go for it itself, but if a back shoulder fade, low percentage play, unless you have a significant personnel advantage at the positions in question, is the best call on your sheet, you might just want to take the point.
And I think that's a well thought out and good point by a very smart teammate of ours. Yeah. And maybe because we had run a bunch of plays inside the five already, like maybe we already burned our 2-point play.
Maybe.
And I, to his point, if you don't have one that you like at the right time, maybe that's going to be a conversation between KF and Lester. And he's like, hey, you got to play. If the answer is like, no, go ahead and take the point. But
that isn't what lost us the game.
No, of course not.
You can go back and
you can go to the very next play where we give up a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah, and I'm curious about your thoughts on this because you're the defensive guy, and they interviewed Jay after the game. They interviewed Castro after the game. Obviously, in real time, especially for fans who don't know anything about football, they see that and they go, "Well, Wampa, what are you doing, buddy?" And I'm sure to some extent, he does need to guard that guy, but Jay Higgins took credit on this or took the blame on this, I should say, and said, I have to be able to reroute that guy and slow him down out of timing, get hands on him so that, and Xavier is expecting that. So you tell me.
Jay Higgins is a great teammate.
He's a great leader.
Yeah.
Great leader.
If I'm going to assign blame, I'm going to put 10% on Higgins and 90% on Wampa.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yes, he absolutely is supposed to get his hands on, reroute that guy, slow him up.
But he beat Xavier by a lot. And I'm not sure.
He's sitting for something. I'm not sure if he's waiting on it brought the flashback to Jake Gervais 2017.
I know.
Talk about it in the podcast.
I know.
He's waiting on something, like he's expecting a dig across the middle or something. He's flat footed and he just gives him one little head nod and he's gone. And there's just nothing you can do at that point. He's got to be given a little bit more ground and understand you got nobody behind you.
Guy's too talented to just
exactly give up the 15-yard dig. If you gotta, he can't get behind you. If he's getting in on your space, you gotta start bailing out of your flat foot read, start backpedaling, open your hips and run, you know?
And this is where you start to feel bad. If you haven't already as a Hawkeye fan, this is where you start to feel really bad because it's now 19-14. It took it, they cooked up like a, I don't know, a 7 or 8 yard drive for 75 yards for their first touchdown. Now it took them only one play. They've got all the momentum of the world. Rocco's got confidence. Their receivers have confidence. They're dusting our, they've now made an insane catch in the end zone and just absolutely ran by us. They feel like they can do anything on offense now. And it's 19-14 and you're sitting there as Iowa going, okay, I hope we're built to go punch for punch because.
And we're not, because I think we go 3 and out the next 3 drives. And also, going to lay a little bit at our punt team. I think we go 40 yard punt, and then we had 46 yard punt. But
and there's no returns.
They're winning field position, like you.
There's no returns on those, and we have been spoiled by Torrey Taylor. This was going to come up. Reese had a great punt in that first half to pin them on the 1 yard line. Great stuff, buddy.
40-yard punts don't get it done.
The problem is here, if they aren't returning punts, which they didn't in this game, and your net is 40 yards, I don't want to throw any names under the bus, but you're starting to enter a territory of a couple guys that I snapped to. And we weren't known for our punting in 13 through 17. We'll just put it that way. Your best in the country are going to be up in the 48 range every year, 47, 48 average net. You're pretty good if you're 44, 45. You are dog shit. You're bottom third of the big of the country if you're in the 40 even. We cannot be 40. And that hurt us multiple times. There was probably everybody sitting there was going, would have liked another 5 to 10 out of that.
Yeah.
On multiple punts in that game. And it's not that he doesn't have the talent to do it, because before half, he actually hit a boomer. He had like a 50.
Yeah, oh yeah, he had a great punt in the first half.
He had one that was, I think, 51 in the air. I've seen him hit upwards of 60 on clips. He seems like he's not getting into it, and I get it. He's new. He's young. It's a huge game. We got to find our confidence there, because Iowa football requires good special teams, good field position. We have to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they basically won a field position battle for right there, and they end up getting a field goal out of it. We punt a couple more times, but our defense calms down pretty good. And then we get a couple first downs, melt the clock down. They go a quick 3 and out in 20 seconds, which honestly, if you're going to go 3 and out for them at that point, it's best they could do.
Yeah.
And then we're able to squeeze another couple first downs out, milk 2 minutes off the clock.
It sucks because at this point it's the fourth quarter.
There's 38 seconds left. They have no timeouts and we're punting from our own 40, which I think we should have burned the timeout because, like we just talked about, our punting wasn't that great.
You have to be in the inside 15 there. You can't give it to him outside.
Like, what was that punt? I think it was a 30-something yard punt.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't good.
37-yard punt.
Fuck. Which, I mean, Kevin.
KSO's a punter better than we do. And it's like, if I haven't seen it, but him hitting a touchback from our own 45, not something I would have been concerned about at that
No,
point.
Kid's got to let it loose. And he's tight.
I burned the timeout. Give them the extra 1 second, and that 5 yards may have mattered at the end there, may have not. I mean, their field goal kicker, he nailed that thing by.
It was good from 60, and they also had the opportunity to run.
Would Campbell have taken the shot from 60? That was a question.
No, but could they have run another 5 yard out with 9 seconds left to get another five? You know,
yeah, of course.
So you know, I don't think that's where we lose the game either. What really sucks on that last. In the last 10 minutes of that game, but especially that punt is, and maybe it's just a little PTSD for you and me because we saw this 2 years ago when they beat us in Kinnick. So weird that the opposing team has won this thing like 5 years in a row, by the way, or the away team. They went 99 yards and beat us on a just blood-sucking drive 2 years ago. When we lost to them, which is now this year, 2 years ago, and the year that we lost them in 14 is the 3 losses that they've had in the last decade out of 11 games. It was a field goal in 14. And it just felt way too deja vu for me. And I don't know if it did for you,
It had similar vibes to 2014.
It felt like I had already lived this before, and I could see it happening. And what do? They ran an out and up on Castro, and we bite on it, and they have the guy to do it because they're elite. They are great route runners. They're great receivers, and it goes for 35 up our sideline, and I'm like, that's
it. Yeah, I've said it before. We're playing two-man there. I don't like the two-man coverage. I understand it in that situation, but they know it's very easy to diagnose as a quarterback and as a offensive coordinator. When we're in that sub package, that's what we play majority of the time. So as a defender, you're supposed to play inside and underneath, and which is where he was at, right? That's where he is, except he peaks in the backfield. Like, dude, there's 20 seconds left on the clock. He's running a 3-yard out route, push him out of bounds, whatever. We'll give up the 5 seconds for 3 yards. You don't need to try to make a play on the ball so much. Just stay on your guy. He peaks in the backfield, turns upfield. He's gone for 30 something yards up the sideline.
At that point,
point, we're just like, we're in real trouble. What's that get them to? That gets them to,
I think that took them, I don't know if that was
the Iowa 38. So that's a 55 yard field goal from there. And apparently that kid had the leg in it. So yeah, because they only get two more yards from there.
Shout out to that kid. Smoked it after missing and doinking one earlier in the game as a specialist. I know that that messes with your head and you just got to come back and act, you know, goldfish memory in an opponent's stadium. That kid has now a lifelong memory and is a legend for Iowa State. And
I like the no freeze. I don't like freeze.
I do too.
Unless the only reason I would ever freeze if I call a timeout right away, like don't even let them line up.
Yes. And I've talked about this before as a specialist, you get, you know, that kicker had a few kickoffs, but he's not really involved in the kickoff placement. It's not as touchy of a thing. It's not as surgical as a field goal or a PAT where you have to be accurate. He gets a total of a minute of running clock on the field. Specialists are very uncomfortable and out of their element when they actually get on the field. They aren't out there a lot. So the worst thing you can do is call a timeout and let the kid sit there and line up the posts while you wait 30 seconds to reset. And he has his time to run through his little, you know, his whole little spiel, his cues, take a deep breath, imagine it going through. Like, don't give the specialist any more time out there than they already have, because they're just going to feel more comfortable if they get a second to breathe. And so I don't like icing kickers either.
But yeah, credit to him. What, the redshirt freshman nails it.
I think a second year. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him. Question for you. What's Drew Stevens got in his leg? Has he got a 60 yarder in his leg?
Yeah, he's got a lot. He's got a lot now.
So, I mean, obviously, I had the thought at the moment, like, we take that kickoff out to the midfield.
Yeah. Do you give him a chance?
Try to hard count him, draw him off sides, and you kick a 62.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's tough to think about that in the moment, but, you know.
I don't know if you get him to, I don't know if you get him on a hard count. I think where we were, it was 68. So we needed, he's not making 68.
Would he have had 62? I think we had a timeout.
I don't know what the wind situation is. I don't think it was very windy at all.
I think not very windy at all, but I do believe it was kind of going towards that northwest corner.
If you had any sort of northwest, northeast, straight north, slight breeze, it would have helped. I mean, every kicker that I ever played with, going back to Alden Hafar, who nobody even knows, Alden, Mike Meyer, Marshall Kane, Josh Prohl, who you've never heard of, Miguel Racinos, Keith Duncan, Caleb Shudak, all six guys I named there, seven, I saw and snapped a 60-yard successful field goal for every single kicker. College guys can make 60. Consistently, no, but the power is there. So I don't think
that's... I mean, obviously, yeah, no, like you said, 67, 68 was not there. No. But I think we had a couple of timeouts, and that's, I don't know, something that's hard to think about in the moment. But I don't know, it was probably worth it, right? Try do something.
It's,
You start to weigh the option. 52-yard field goal than a field Mary, right?
Yeah, you start to weigh the option.
Mary for a reason. It's a fucking prayer.
Right. You're starting to weigh the statistics of what's more likely here. Drew Stevens kicking his all-time longest field goal that we just haven't really tried.
Yeah.
Or a Hail Mary down to seven guys where it didn't even get there. I mean, it's tough. I had one more question for you on the other side. Something that we didn't really talk about. I don't think we sacked Rocco Beck one time. They get it out pretty quick.
We had a couple pressures in the first half. Second half, he was pretty comfortable back there.
Pretty comfortable, and I know he gets it out quick.
Pushed him a couple times, but that was about it.
Did we get enough against a team that isn't supposed to have like this all-time offensive line?
We have a lot of experience on their offensive line.
Did our D-line underperform?
Could they have played better? For sure. Yeah.
They didn't overperform.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They were okay.
I'd say overall they played a solid game.
With the rush defense, yes.
One thing I thought was interesting is they started playing Graves and Black on different D-line rotations.
I saw that too.
And that's where they were getting push, is when one of them wasn't in the game.
Yeah.
That's where we were giving up a little bit of a bulge in the front there.
Can't have that bulge.
So I thought that was interesting. I don't think we've ever really done that before. We've had usually we've always had our best guys in the first line when they need a spell, like the backup rotation goes in. But for some reason, they wanted them in on different rotations there for a little bit. I think they're both in towards the end. And that's kind of where we started to firm up a little bit. But
yeah,
overall, the defensive line played well. We do have to get more pressure, though.
Yeah. Feels like we need to get at least one sack a game from somebody. Yeah.
And the thing is, we got burned when we did bring pressure. We got, roughing the passer on one. And then, like I said earlier, we were bringing a fire zone from the field, and they caught us on the cover three on the backside. They knew they had the seam open, and they hit it for like 15 to 18 yards. So
some guy, that was just a case of sometimes they got the right play.
Yeah, sometimes they have a better play call than us, and that happens. That's football.
So overall, I don't know how you guys feel out there. I think everyone's feeling pretty yucky about this game. I left, and it could just be the bias of it felt so good in the first half, and then all of a sudden we just, you know, and there's,
they got to learn to put away games.
We have to. And there's some really disgusting stats out there as well, that in KF games where we lead by eight or more at any point, we're like almost damn near undefeated. And this was the biggest comeback against an Iowa team of eight points or more in like 13 years or something. So that it really hurts. Iowa State, on the other hand, not good at these, like it goes the other way, so it widens the gap for the potential for this thing to happen even more. And it just felt like we got outfought in some areas, but it probably is just the bad taste in my mouth. So you know, it is what it is. It's the Hawks are 1-1, and everybody else gets to go to work and bitch and moan this week about how we should have done this or we should have done this. And those guys are the ones in the locker room who get to decide if things get fixed or not. So, you know, this week should be a win. Again, there's a lot of teams out there who are should be getting wins against other teams. Notre Dame, Northern Illinois. Oh, we'll talk about a couple of those other ones. That's why they play the games on Saturday. But this needs to be a get back on track week, because Big Ten play comes very soon. Catch the walk-ons all week. Somehow in the depression of a loss to your in-state rival, I'm now going to do four podcasts this week, this one being the first. So I'm really fucking excited for that. But catch the programming all week. If you're on the Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons, the next one you hear after this will be Taglines. Me and Gary will be there on Tuesday. And then the press review show, the Thursday preview episode, and the 5-10-5 show, all coming to you this week for week three against Troy. We will see you guys on those episodes, or we won't. Try and dry your tears. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.